It's
I'm
Phoebe.
Ashley. And we are poorly coordinated.
It's Phoebe. It's Ashley.
And this is Early Departures.
Okay, so let's jump right into it. Hopefully this episode will go live before New Year's. Because of that, I put together a compilation. Is compilation the right word?
Is it more than one thing?
Yeah.
Of the same sort?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I put together a compilation of New Year's Eve early departures.
Oh, fun. We know from experience on this show that you should never celebrate anything, and God forbid you're celebrating something as large as a new year coming.
I'm never celebrating New Year's ever again after this, unless I'm at home.
Uh-huh.
Possibly just in bed.
Yeah, that sounds fun to me.
Yeah, I think last year I watched the ball drop in a different time zone ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, well, it's New Year's somewhere. And I went to bed. It was like 10 o'clock.
I honestly don't even recall. So that's how exciting it was for me.
You guys have probably heard us mention a million times that we have traveled for plenty of New Year's and we typically never celebrate it when we're traveling.
Yeah.
Because we're bad at planning.
Yeah.
So we'll find ourselves like in our hotel room eating gas station food or finding like the worst bar ever to be at and yeah. then going home early.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, New Year's Eve celebrations all around, unfortunately, mine come with early departures, and we're starting in 1995 in New Orleans.
Okay.
A 31-year-old woman from Boston was celebrating New Year's in the French Quarter's Jackson Square near the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
Around 11:40 p.m., she was awaiting the fireworks display, listening to music, and talking to friends, and the next thing, she was falling to the ground. She had collapsed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this happens quite quickly. She was unconscious and rushed to a hospital where an x-ray showed that a bullet was in her head.
Wait, was in her what?
Head. She had a bullet in her head. So she's standing with friends along the river waiting for the fireworks display to start. She collapses. They rush her to a hospital. And in the x-ray at the hospital, they find there's a bullet in her head.
That's terrifying.
So, apparently, celebratory gunfire is a huge thing in New Orleans, especially in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And New Orleans Police Department estimated that 200,000 rounds of ammunition were fired into the air that night
what?
She was killed.
200,000?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, like, for all time. That night.
That night.
People are crazy, especially in 1995.
There was an article where someone talks about that they had a roof repair done in 1997 and found several bullet casings in their gutter.
Jeez.
Because of it, you know, the falling ammunition.
That's crazy. This is what people outside of America think that America's like.
Well,
most of it's not.
Apparently, celebratory gunfire is way more common than I would have ever expected. I found a report that said, quote, celebratory gunfire is culturally accepted in parts of the Balkans,
mm-hmm.
the Middle East, Afghanistan, India, Guatemala, Ethiopia, and the U.S., even if it is legal or illegal.
I just saw an article, and I wish I remember what country it was, but it was either the Middle East or Africa. I think it was the Middle East. Where somebody had just been elected to some political office and then they were killed by celebratory gunfire. So imagine that.
They said the most common occasion for celebratory gunfire is New Year's Day, along with religious holidays. A study by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, so the CDC,
mm-hmm.
found that 80% of celebratory gunfire-related injuries are to the head and the feet and the shoulders.
Jeez.
In Puerto Rico, about 7 people have died from celebratory gunfire on New Year's Eve in the last 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
And between 1985 and 1992, doctors at the King Drew Medical Center in L.A., treated more than 118 people from random falling bullets. And 38 of them died.
It's a whole thing I didn't know I needed to be worried about.
Tell me about it. Again, I'm celebrating New Year's Eve inside.
Oh my God. I mean, it's 11:40. You're 20 minutes from countdown. And then bullet in your head because somebody not only was like overzealous with, oh, let's shoot bullets into the sky, but like early. It's not even New Year's yet. What are you doing?
I know.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy? the scale of it, I was totally blown away by. Like when I started looking into it, I just couldn't believe the volume of these incidents that are happening all over the world.
Wait, did you already say, did she live?
No, she died.
Gosh, poor woman just wanted to celebrate. Easy. Okay, indoor parties only.
Yep. So now we're jumping to 2000. Vegas.
Okay.
Big hot spot for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
During the 2000 New Year's Eve festivities, a 26-year-old college wrestling coach died from a combination of electrocution and injury sustained from a 30-foot fall from a light pole.
Wait. What?
Yeah. There's not, I don't have much details beyond that, but you really got to unpack electrocution, falling from a light pole 30 feet in the air.
So he crawled up a light pole. And then got electrocuted and fell off, it sounds like.
Details were sparse.
Which sounds like something that you might expect somebody, you know, in Vegas, drinking New Year's Eve. Hey, I bet you I can climb up this light pole.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the video where the girl, she like scales this light pole and then does like chin-ups on it. And in the comments, some guy who works on those is like an electrician. He was like, yeah, that's great and all, but please, everybody else, do not try to repeat this stunt because she's very lucky that that thing didn't fall because it's not meant to hold human body weight.
Gosh.
Sounds like maybe that's what happened to that guy.
Yeah, everyone stay off light poles. So my next one is we're staying in Vegas, but we're fast forwarding to 2011.
Okay.
A 24-year-old California man was visiting Vegas with his cousin and his best friend. And around 12:28 a.m. on New Year's Eve, he was at the Planet Hollywood when he became separated from his friends. He called one of his friends to ask for help. He said he was in the pool area and couldn't figure out how to get out. He just felt like, you know, because I'm assuming it's like a pool terrace deck.
Yeah.
So he's out there. He can't get out. He knows his friends are at the, they're all at this hotel. And so he calls for help. His friend was able to track down a maintenance employee and asked him to open up the locked door to the pool area. And the maintenance employee then called security. The friend said it took security about 40 minutes to get to the pool area. And when they checked the pool, they didn't find the 25-year-old male. So the next morning on January 1st, he was reported missing.
Oh, gosh.
So everyone is looking for him, can't find him. They were able to access some security footage that showed people coming and going from the pool deck. But they had propped the door open. And apparently maybe when he got, that's how he was able to get in. And then was locked out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there was no update from him. And they ended up discovering his body on January 3rd in a secluded construction area that was not accessible to the public. So homicide investigators determined that his death was an accident from being intoxicated and that he fell 5 to 6 stories from the rooftop to a second rooftop.
Oh, no. So he was trying to get out and he couldn't figure it out and he just like plummeted over the side.
Yeah. One of the articles said his family saw some of that security footage because the security footage did see him on the pool deck. But it didn't give any details if they saw what happened next.
Yeah.
But there's that 40-minute window from when he called his friend and said he was stuck out there to when security got there and didn't find him.
It's just like 40 minutes.
I know.
That's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine, like, if that was your family or your friend. And, God, if you had been the one they had called. And you're like, yep, taken care of. I called security. That's nuts.
I know, because you would think because you talked to maintenance and security, like, oh, this will be solved, this will be figured out. So
10 minutes.
Super tragic.
God. Well, you know what, though? It's another one of those things where I'm glad they found his body, because I literally thought you were going to say, I don't know what was coming out of your mouth, but it sounded like you were going to say, and then they never found his body. And I was like, what? Like, he's in some pool drain pipe somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did you watch the Netflix documentary about the hotel in LA?
Oh, no, I didn't watch it, but I do know that story.
About how she ended up in the water tank.
Yeah.
In the hotel, God. And people were like reporting like the weird smells and texture from the water.
Yes.
But it's one of those things where she went to the rooftop. They had reports of her being up there. Then she disappeared.
Yeah. That one really, I think, like, I was going to say really messed with my head, but I'm pretty sure it messed with everybody's head who ever heard it, because will you ever just trust the water in a hotel if it's a little funky? Oh, is there a dead body floating in the water reservoir on the roof?
When I went to the beach for my birthday, the water was super funky. And the girl I was with brought it up, was like, did you ever see that episode, that show? And I was like, yeah.
God, it's so bad. I think about that. And also, I don't know what happened in the 90s/early 2000s that, like, they were finding bodies, like, under the bed in hotels or, like, between the mattress and the box spring.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Oh, every hotel I went to between, like, probably 1998 and 2015, I was like, okay, I'm going to check under the bed real quick, but I really don't want to see anything I can't unsee. But I was always sure I was going to find a body under there.
I'm so glad hotels now have, like, the wood box underneath all the beds.
Some of them.
Fair. Some of them. Most do, I think.
Well,
I mean, I'm just bringing bad news left and right here, so.
Yeah.
We're leaving Vegas. We're going to Thailand.
Okay.
It's 2013, and a 22-year-old British tourist is celebrating New Year's Eve at a beach resort in Hat Rin. On the island of Gopengan.
Okay.
So he's celebrating New Year's Eve at the Zoom Beach Bar with a large crowd of about 300 people dancing along the beach. And as he danced the night away, a fight broke out between two groups of locals. As one of the men walked away from the bar, he reportedly pulled out a homemade gun and fired into the crowd, hitting the British tourist in the chest.
So two groups of locals were fighting, and he whips out a homemade gun and accidentally shoots this British person?
Yeah, a local whipped out the gun and accidentally and shot into the crowd and accidentally hit the British tourist in the chest.
Yeah.
He was immediately taken to the hospital but could not be revived.
Oh, man.
The Bangkok Post said police on the island launched a search for a 26-year-old suspect shortly after the shooting. The man had apparently gone into hiding in the island's mountainous interior.
Ugh.
And a short time later, the officers were reported to have made an arrest and recovered the homemade gun.
Oh, wow.
Can we talk about a homemade gun, though?
Yeah. That's scary.
I don't even know what I imagine when I imagine this.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a couple where they were homemade. And I feel like if I ever made a homemade gun, I don't care how good I thought I was at doing it, I would be afraid to load it. And I would be afraid the first time I shot it, because I would be afraid that it would just, like, disassemble in my hand or blow back into my face. Because, you know, guns are, like, highly calibrated things.
Yeah. So, again, more gunshots. Stay inside. We're going back to Vegas, because why?
Okay.
You know, why wouldn't we?
Poor Vegas.
Poor Vegas. This one is super sad. I guess they're all sad, but, you know. A 25-year-old male was ringing the New Year's in Las Vegas, and shortly after the ball drop, he realized he'd lost his phone and decided it was time to call it a night. He told his friends he was heading back to his hotel room. When his friends returned to the room, he was not there. They started looking for him. They called police stations, hospitals, and could not find him anywhere. They finally decided to make a phone call to his mom and alert her and kind of alert a larger search party to see if he's posted anything, if anyone's heard from him. He's just completely MIA.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to New Year's Day around 6 p.m., Metro Police in Vegas receive a call that a passerby noticed a man lying down near a ditch. When the police arrived, they found a man lying on a pillow.
Oh, no.
And he had serious bruising and lacerations to his head and body.
Mm-hmm.
They rushed him to the hospital where he experienced a stroke from his head injuries. I believe he had some internal bleeding.
Ooh.
Police spokesperson said it was unclear if his injuries were caused by external factors like a hit-and-run accident or something else. And just like all of these stories we start to research, there are zero details after the report of this accident.
Uh-huh.
There's an article that mentions his family started a GoFundMe to help raise money for his medical care.
Uh-huh.
I believe he was still alive at the time of that article, about 3 days later.
Hmm.
But again, no follow-up on that.
So there's a chance that he made it.
The weird part is, like, lying next to the road with a pillow.
Yeah.
Oh, and he had his wallet, so he wasn't robbed. So he had his wallet on him, too.
Interesting.
Isn't that so strange?
And this is what you said, 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he's still alive.
I know. I hope he makes it out okay of the stroke. I hope he's able to recover and get back to some sense of normalcy in his life after whatever happened.
Yeah. I mean, and luckily he was, you know, young. So a lot better. I mean, I'm not a doctor and I don't really know, but I feel like it's you got a better chance when you're young and you have a stroke of recovery.
Yes. And it sounds like the stroke happened while he was in the hospital under care. Yeah. So that's also helpful, too. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like the seconds count when you're having a stroke to help cut down on lasting damage.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I've got one more.
Okay.
It's 2020. So 2019 going to 2020. Little did we know what kind of world we were going into then.
Yeah.
And we're going back to Thailand.
Okay.
So probably stay away from Vegas and Thailand for New Year's celebrations.
I mean, I think you were right when you just said don't go outside on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Stay home.
Just stay home. Or stay in your hotel room that doesn't have a balcony.
Mm-hmm. Make sure nobody puts you under the mattress.
Okay. So 2020 Thailand, a 50-year-old British tourist was celebrating the arrival of 2020 with his girlfriend and a few other friends at a beach resort or at a party resort in eastern Thailand when tragedy struck. Around 12:30 that night, he bought a firework from a person on the street. They don't say if it was a street vendor, but fireworks are illegal there. So he somehow obtained a firework.
Mm-hmm.
And in the picture, it looks like one of those big tube ones that like spit out the balls of fire.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like a Roman candle type situation.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't think of what it was called, a Roman candle. So like a giant paper towel roll.
Mm-hmm.
So he has that. He attempts to light it. It doesn't light the first time. And on the second attempt to light it, it begins to smolder and smoke before it explodes.
Uh-oh.
And it sounded like he was either standing directly over the firework or even holding it still when it exploded.
Oh, God.
And he had severe head injuries and died at the scene of the accident.
Oh.
And also, his girlfriend and his friends are standing right by his side when this happens.
That's traumatic. Oh, my God. That's the last thing you expect to happen.
I know. And there is a picture in the article where his body's on the street and they have a tarp over him and his girlfriend's laying on top of him. I'm just like, oh, that is so heartbreaking. That poor woman.
Oh, yeah, that is horrible.
Yeah.
Gosh. Ugh. And her year just got even worse after that because she goes home and then COVID happens.
Yeah, terrible. So police were trying to investigate how he even got the fireworks since they're illegal.
Yeah.
Which also makes me wonder what was the quality of that firework if it's illegal.
Oh, sure. Homemade guns.
Yeah, homemade guns, homemade fireworks, old fireworks, faulty fuses.
Yeah.
So,
guys, if something is illegal in a country, just don't do it. Don't buy it. Whether it be drugs, fireworks, just stay away from them. You don't need it.
Nope. So that's my New Year's Eve roundup. There were a few other ones that popped up. It's just a dangerous time.
Yeah.
I'm really promoting indoor safety. I want to make a New Year's Eve campaign to stay inside and a very nice, chill, relaxing night with your friends or family.
Yeah, just let's change the whole idea and make New Year's Eve just be like a time to relax. And maybe you go to a spa, you get a massage, you get ready for the hectic year to come by just being super relaxing and no fireworks, no gun celebratory fire, none of that.
Yeah, stay home and make your vision board.
Yeah, drink a nice pipe and hot cup of tea. Oh, well, I think, you know, God forbid, don't ever say the words New Year, New Me, or, you know, year whatever to, you know, 2022 is going to be my year. Like, never utter those kind of words because you're just asking for it.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody out there listening right now who does have New Year's plans, we're not trying to ruin your fun. I'm sure you won't get shot, so you should still have a good time.
Stay safe on New Year's. Stay inside.
Yeah, so your story is a big bummer. My story is not so much of a bummer, but it's a real big bummer for the Dominican Republic because we're heading back there today again. I think for the third time.
Man. And we haven't even covered all the deaths that happened in that, like that, was it like 2 or 3 months when everyone died there?
Yeah. Apologies to the Dominican Republic. I'm very sorry. I have never been there in real life. Neither one of us have. I'm sure it's lovely. And millions of people do go there every year without dying or having any troubles at all. So consider that also. It's January 2018. Dating couple Katie Stevens, who's 22, and Eddie Zeitner, 25, are in Windsor, Ontario, where it's very cold. It's January. They pack up for a beach vacation to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. They stay at an all-inclusive resort called IFA Villas Bavaro Resort and Spa and spend their days enjoying the beach.
Are they celebrating anything or are they just getting out of town?
I think it's just a winter trip.
Okay.
Because I'm always curious about the places people stay, the stories we tell, I did look this property up and found that if you wanted to go to this place in January, it would run you about $276 per night. And the place looks pretty well kept and modern. So just FYI. That said, I also came across a low-key, hilariously snarky 1-star rating of it from the Fromers website.
Ooh, I love a good snarky review. What does it say?
It said, quote, "This is a budget-priced, all-inclusive resort right on Bavaro Beach. It is wonderfully cheap, but remember, you get what you pay for. Not a luxury beach vacation, but an inexpensive one. With decent but uninspired lodgings, decent but uninspired food, and bottom shelf alcohol."
That was a very uninspiring review.
Anyway, so they're enjoying their time chilling on the beach on this very beautiful Caribbean island. But dang it if these annoying sand fleas weren't just eating them alive. Throughout their stay, their feet got progressively more and more itchy. Obviously, they weren't going to let some sand flea bites ruin their whole trip, though, so they went along scratching their feet the whole time.
Oh my god, I have a feeling I know where this is going already. They've got open wounds, they're in ocean water, that always means a parasite.
Oh, you know I love to talk about some parasites. I don't know why I'm always talking about parasites and people's genitals and poop stuff and bathrooms.
You're just like an 8-year-old inside.
I know.
You know, just like fascinated by bugs and poop.
Oh, so it's now January 18th and the couple goes home. Instead of their bug bites getting better, they get worse.
Ugh.
So much worse.
Ugh, I'm imagining like little worms in their feet already.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Because the pictures of their feet are so heinous that I don't know how they didn't just end up in a mental health unit of a hospital, because I would lose my mind if my feet looked like theirs did. I would want to cut my feet off.
Can I Google this and see what it looks like?
I will put a lovely picture or two up on Instagram so everybody can imagine how horrible your life would be if you had these feet. And I will describe what they looked like.
Perfect. I was waiting for that.
So, of course, by now, they are totally freaking out, and they go to a doctor. That doctor does not know quite what is wrong with them, which is the biggest fear ever. There's something so wrong with you, and the doctor goes, never seen that before.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, so they go to a second doctor. That one also does not have an answer for them.
What kind of doctors are these? Just like regular, like primary care, general practitioner?
Probably something like that.
They're going to have to go to like an infectious disease specialist or a parasite specialist.
Well, if you remember on the episode where I talked about the leptospirosis outbreak and the eco challenge, that's exactly what happened, was they had to get a tropical infectious disease doctor involved just to know what it was.
I forgot about that one. I was thinking about the British guy who went swimming and got the parasite.
Yep. I got parasites for days.
You sure do.
So they go to that second doctor. He does not have an answer for them either. The couple's feet are swollen all the way up to their ankles. Their small bug bite bums are replaced with large welts.
Did they look like a hive welt or did they look like pimple?
Almost like blisters.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So pus filled.
Yeah, let's say gray blisters. Hmm. They also have squiggly raised lines under the skin that almost look like inflamed veins.
Oh, yeah. They have worms.
Yeah, they sure weren't veins. They were definitely worms.
Mm-hmm.
According to a third doctor, it was the larva of hookworms, to be exact.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Hookworms are an intestinal parasite, for anybody who didn't know. And the CDC describes the symptoms of an infection as follows. And this is important, just in case you ever find yourself thinking you've been bitten by sand fleas. Quote, itching and a localized rash are often the first signs of infection. These symptoms occur when the larvae penetrate the skin. A person with a light infection might have no symptoms. A person with a heavy infection may experience abdominal pain, diarrhea, loss of appetite, weight loss, fatigue, and anemia. The parasite spreads, as many parasites do, through infected poop.
Where did they touch the poop?
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh no!
Humans or animals that are infected with hookworm might do their business on the beach, and then later you walk on it, and the parasite, in their droppings, end up catching a ride on your foot and then burrow into it.
Do I have to have an open wound for it to burrow, or can it just burrow through my skin?
Nope, they just burrow right into your skin. They make their own hole to get in.
Oh, my lord. That's disgusting, Ashley.
I'm so sorry. But this is important, and I'll tell you why later. The eventual goal of the hookworm is to make it into your intestine, where they can sap you of your nutrients. So they are coming in through your foot and then working their way up to your intestine. Now, obviously, the higher the number of worms you have, the much worse off you're going to find yourself. And the worms basically drink your blood. And if you have 1,000 worms in your body, which is not uncommon, those suckers can consume one full cup of your blood every single day, which is what makes you anemic.
Wait, I can have 1,000 of them in my body. Where do I go get a tapeworm test? Or a hookworm, sorry. Where do I get a hookworm test? How do I know if I'm safe?
You could be symptomless, like I said, but otherwise you would be, getting all the symptoms of being anemic, of being malnourished, of being losing weight, being tired, all those kind of things. And you would have most people would have that sort of rash on their foot or wherever it entered, because that's your body's allergic response to parasite being in your body. So as long as you haven't had that for a while, you're probably okay.
How do you feel about walking on the beach now?
Oh, so gross. So back to Canada, the first two doctors didn't know what it was because hookworm just isn't something that is seen in Canada ever anymore. So they just didn't have much experience with it. And then the couple actually lucked out in that the third doctor had apparently just treated another person who had picked up hookworm in Thailand. But the funny thing is that in Canada, because they don't see hookworm that often, they didn't even have the medication handy to prescribe to the couple. The medicine was going to have to be like ordered from like a central depository type thing, for Canada. And when your feet look like that, you're not trying to wait. You want your medicine now, like immediately.
Well, could you imagine going to bed that night too, knowing you don't have medicine, you have worms in your body?
I mean, and they've just had these worms in there for, God knows how long at this point, days. They were on vacation with these worms in their feet for days before they went home. So it's just bad all around. So instead of waiting for however long it would have taken them to obtain the medicine locally, Katie's mom actually ends up driving across the border to Detroit to pick it up. Incidentally, for anybody who doesn't live near the area, this is only about a 12-minute drive, so it's not like some arduous long-distance journey or anything. If you're not familiar with the area, let me also just tell you that Detroit is actually north of Windsor, Ontario, which is a fact that I always forget and am surprised every single time I see it on the map.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time picturing it, but...
Yeah, it's very funny. And so apparently the doctor also was certified to prescribe in both Canada and America, which is why he was allowed to send a prescription to Detroit, basically.
Yeah.
So lucky for them, you know, lucky they didn't live in like Quebec City or somewhere very far away from the border with America. Because then they would have just had to wait.
They'd have to spend another night with worms in their body.
I don't know how you would sleep. It's disgusting.
Well, I think at that point, once I knew there were worms in my bodies, I think I would just start feeling like they were crawling. And I'd be like, I swear I can feel them wiggling. And I would just like lose my mind.
Yeah. You'd be like, they're in my eyeballs. They're everywhere.
Wait, one question. They're everywhere. They're in my body. They're trying to make their way to my intestine. Mm-hmm. You know, like when a dog has worms and they poop and like you can see the worms in their poop?
Mm-hmm.
If you have 1,000 worms in your body as a human, do I see it in my poop?
So with dogs and humans, I believe that you do see them in your poop, but it's only the shedded dead ones.
Oh my God. Oh, my oh Ashley. Okay. I shouldn't have asked that. That's disgusting.
This fascinates me.
I think I just vomited in my mouth. That's, oh my gosh.
Well, let me just tell you that. The couple's feet had gotten so bad that they could not put any weight on their feet anymore. So they had to use crutches to actually get around at all. Luckily, then, Katie's mom, she's able to drive across the border, get the medicine, and they finally start to feel better. And at the time that the story was reported, at the end of January 2018, they were now mostly concerned with just lasting damage to the skin itself. So I hope for their sake that the damage also did resolve eventually. And like I said, it was like gray blister, huge gray blisters all over their feet, like underneath. And so I could see how that would be probably a long process for the skin itself to actually heal from that. It was very bad.
I'm just disgusted. I feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
My skin is itching right now. Like, I'm itching.
Yeah.
My palms are sweating and I'm itching.
Well, I came across a story and I was like, let me Google around about this hookworm situation real quick. And literally the first thing that popped up is a Popular Science article titled, "Hookworms, the most common travel health risk no one warns Americans about."
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's why I'm telling you about this horrible, horrible situation today. Because apparently, nobody else does. According to that article, government websites where you might normally look up what health problems exist in a country you want to travel to, with, you know, information about what vaccinations you might need or what, you know, diseases to look out for, they somehow fail to mention hookworms as a problem in many countries where it is a huge problem. And that was the case for the Dominican Republic. So our couple from Canada would definitely not have known it was a thing to be vigilant about at all. There was a quote in a story that was beyond horrifying to me, which was, quote, "Even African countries where upwards of 60 or even 80% of people are infected with hookworms don't seem to carry any warnings to travelers."
How many countries?
Well, they were just talking about like some African countries.
I thought you said 60 to 80 countries are supposed to come with warnings about hookworm.
No. 60. No, they're talking about African countries where upwards of 60 to 80% of people are infected with hookworm.
Oh.
And the government websites don't carry a warning. So if you were to go on like CIA.org or whatever it is that has the world factbook on different countries.
Yeah.
It should say this country has a hookworm problem, but it says nothing about hookworms at all, even if 80% of the population is infected at the moment.
That is wild. So is the primary entry point through feet, through like walking on soiled ground, or
don't worry, we'll get to that.
okay.
Yeah, the basic thing I took away from that is how horrified I am that there are places in the world where 80% of people are infected with hookworm, and hookworm is classified as a, quote, "neglected tropical disease" because it's a solvable problem. Because really, all it would take to eradicate hookworm from a country would be massive investment in sanitation infrastructure. But that costs a lot of money, and now multiply whatever that figure is by the huge number of countries where hookworm exists,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about serious money. Unfortunately, for countries where that is a problem, it's a whole lot cheaper just to give people medicine. Just two 200 milligram albendazole pills to cure the infection. Meaning a lot of people live in communities around the world where they'll just continue to get infected and then get the pills to cure it and then get infected again, just over and over again.
Wow.
We're talking about 740 million people around the world.
You're right. Why is no one talking about this?
It's horrible. Wait till you find out how many countries it's in. The biggest indicators that a location might have a hookworm infestation are extreme poverty, warm and wet climates, so basically anywhere in the tropics, and poor sanitation.
Okay.
And poor sanitation is the biggest hurdle, really, because you can be in a warm, wet climate like Hawaii and not have hookworm because there's great sanitation everywhere.
Right. And by sanitation, we're talking about like sewage and street care and all of that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Even septic tanks, just something where there's a plan for where all the poop goes.
Okay.
So without providing an exhaustive list, because that would take all day, let's just say that most of the countries in Africa, Asia, South and Central America have varying degrees of infestation. So, you know, most of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm thinking about all the places I may have been barefoot.
All those warm, wet beaches. That said, I also read an interesting NPR article about hookworm in America. Apparently, we thought it was eradicated here by the 1980s, but surprise, surprise, it is not, and was found in a very small, but also very economically disadvantaged community in Alabama. People in that community didn't have enough money for septic systems, and their best alternative was to run a pipe from their toilet directly to a ditch some distance behind their houses. And that was fine in theory until you get one of those famous southern torrential downpours, and suddenly your ditch is backflowing right into the rest of your yard or even into your house. And then all you have to do is walk barefoot in your house, on your yard, whatever, and those suckers are boring up into your intestines.
But someone in that house would have had hookworm in the first place to contaminate the feces in that sewage.
Well, not just in that house, though. Not just in that house, because it could have been the neighbor's house, could have been...
Right, but there has to be... Someone has to have it for it to keep...
Somebody in okay. the community, yep. yeah. Okay. So probably while the rest of America's hookworm problem got eradicated, this community probably just kept red on going for all that time.
Do they grow when they're inside of you, or is that tapeworm?
They do, because they start out as larvae and then they grow into actual worms.
Right, but the worm keeps getting bigger and bigger, right?
Yes, but these are smaller than tapeworms, like by a lot.
Okay.
As you can tell by the Alabama situation, it does not even really matter how rich the country is, because a community can be too poor to afford good sanitation and still have it there. So even if you're, you know, visiting a country that you're like, oh, no, it's great, it's fine here, everybody's got good sanitation, there could be a, you know, community that's not so rich, and they might not have great bathrooms, and then you're going to a beach right outside of where they live, and bam, hookworms in your feet.
Oh.
So, unfortunately, for all of us, hookworms are super crafty, and they are great at attaching themselves to you. The advice from the Popular Science article was basically that the best you can do to protect yourself at the beach is to, quote, wear sandals on the beach, sit on towels, and wash off with soap and water after you touch sand, end quote. So that is it. And that's to say that there's not a lot you can do, because they still might get you.
That is so disturbing, because like 2 weeks ago when I flew to the beach,
mm-hmm.
I literally walked like 2.5 miles barefoot along the beach in the morning.
Oh yeah. What are you going to do? Wear like, you know, rain boots on the beach? Hiking boots?
Now I'm cringing. I'm like, I need to check my feet. Well, I mean, I'm sure I'm fine. I'm being dramatic. But I'm just thinking, like, isn't that the best thing to do when you get to the beach? Is, like, walk along where, like, the water crashes along the shore? It's like,
yeah,
man, hookworms ruining the best thing about the beach.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many gross things about walking barefoot on the beach, but it still doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. But maybe in places where I suspect they might have a hookworm, that would be fair, just at least wear sandals. But here's the situation, though. is that if you, they're so efficient at getting onto you and into you that if you even were to just be wearing, you know, let's say a pair of capris where your ankles are exposed and you're wearing shoes, socks, and capris, exposed ankles, you could be walking by and they can absolutely attach themselves to your ankle. All it takes is a little grain of sand getting thrown up on your ankle and they happen to be on it. They are microscopic, tiny little parasites. You can be as careful as you want to. It still might happen to you.
Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah.
At least it's something so treatable. Like, this is really gross and like cringy.
Yeah.
But at least it's so treatable.
Yeah. If you just get checked out as soon as possible, like as soon as you think, oh, this is more than sand fleas, you know, and then you can just take two cheap little pills and hopefully you're just, that's done. And hopefully you've caught it early enough that your feet haven't ballooned all the way up to your ankles.
And you're not pooping out the,
yeah,
the dead worms.
Yeah. You know, which is great for you or I who can just like go to urgent care or whatever. But I do remember being young and broke and whatever. And I would not have just like gone to urgent care or a doctor because I had little bug bites on my feet. I absolutely would have waited until it got to a situation where it was like really bad just because, you know, urgent care is expensive.
It sure is.
And just one random last note about hookworms. Some people believe that there's a connection between low allergy rates and high hookworm infections in locations where you'd expect the population to have bad allergies.
Yeah, you got to unpack that one for me. So
yeah.
Because we both suffer from severe allergies, we might be in the clear.
No, because we suffer really bad allergies. There are, you know, we live in places where allergens are just, you know, seasonal allergens are wreaking havoc on our systems. There are other places in the world where they have those same level of allergens, but the people aren't allergic. They just don't have the same allergic response as we do. So people were like, that's crazy. What's going on there?
Oh.
Well, they're all infected with hookworm. So maybe there's a connection.
Yeah.
That if you're infected with hookworm, it'll fix your allergies.
No. I feel like I read about this somewhere. Some guy purposely swallowed a hookworm to cure his allergies.
Yeah.
And in that same thread, I read about this one guy who stopped washing his hands for 2 years to cure his allergies.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. I have read about this.
Yeah. And so the idea that some of these people who I won't call them scientists because they're not, they've done some research on their own. And the idea is that as we evolved as a species, we had parasites, you know, just until modern sanitation, we were living with parasites. That's how our immune systems evolved. And perhaps we were infected with something like hookworms, and something about what the hookworms were doing inside of our bodies made it so that we did not have an immune response to birch trees or whatever. Now, testing that theory on themselves and then, you know, a small group of whoever else wants to join them, they're infecting themselves with a very small amount of hookworms. So they're not ingesting 1,000 hookworms or anything. But people are literally out there ordering hookworms off the internet and infecting themselves with these small doses, trying to cure their allergies. And neither the treatment nor the internet sellers are FDA approved, of course.
Of course not.
Yeah, you have to put a lot of trust in.
I imagine them getting the worms in the mail and like putting in a shot of tequila, like the tequila bottles, you know, you eat the worm at the bottom. Yes. It's like, all right, let's have a heavy night of drinking. Mm-hmm. Whoever gets the hookworm first.
Oh my God. My allergies are horrible. They're all year round at this point. And I would do almost.
Oh my God, would you do it?
No, I would do almost anything to get rid of them. I will always draw the line at anything, at infecting myself with a parasite.
What if the doctor said it was okay? What if you went to a doctor and he was like, you know, I support this?
I think it would have to be more than the doctor saying they support this, because there are some nutty doctors out there. There are some crazy fringe.
Right, fair.
And so if the doctor said, oh, hey, FYI, the FDA just recognized this treatment and we can now tailor it to each person. Because I feel like that's a part of it is like, if you're just getting worms from an internet stranger, how do they know how many worms you need? You know, do they know if you're a 98-pound, 4-foot woman or a 500-pound, 6-foot-5 man. You know, like, they don't know how many worms you need.
Right. Now, can the worms multiply when they're in you, or, like, one worm is one worm? They don't...
You know, that I am not sure about. I did not look into that.
That would be my fear, is that I'd be like, okay, sure, I'll take one. And the next thing you know, there's, like, 1,000 of them living inside of me.
Yeah. God, imagine going into your doctor and saying, I need the those two pills because I have a hookworm. And the doctor's like, well, let's find out because you don't know if you have it. And you're like, no, I ingested it. I know I do. The shame on my face when the doctor was like, hi, you're an idiot.
I feel like they'd probably still make you get tested.
And it's going to cost $150 to test.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, my allergies have never been better and I'm down 15 pounds.
Yeah. Hey, stop making this sound so attractive to everybody. And that's all I got.
Gosh, this episode was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I gave you like 5 tragic stories and then you just made my skin crawl for the last half hour.
Yeah, but it's curable with 2 little tablets. So it's all fine in the end.
That is the good part. Yeah.
It's not all bad.
It's not like a brain-eating amoeba.
Yeah, I'd rather get hookworm than get shot by celebratory fire on New Year's.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So maybe if you are going to go out and celebrate New Year's this year, maybe you just take a barefoot walk along the beach.
Just live real dangerously.
Yeah. And I'm curious, if anyone listening has had hookworm, please tell us. We want to know about this.
Yeah, definitely tell us.
We want to know where you got it, how you got it, and when did you find out?
Yeah. What resort were you staying at? What beach were you on so we can stay away from it?
Yeah. And then tell us what your feelings were when the doctor told you you had hookworm.
Yeah. And you know what? I also wouldn't hate to hear your New Year's Eve horror stories if you have them. So send all those good stories to earlydepartures@gmail.com or in our DMs at earlydeparturespodcast on Instagram. And we really hope to hear from you because those would be some wild stories.
I know. I'm going to be checking the inbox for those.
Yeah. And we hope that everybody has a fun but safe New Year's this year. And we will be taking next week off just so we can enjoy this week of relaxing at Christmas time. And we hope you do the same.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2022. It's like the most cringy statement of like, talk to you next year.
Yeah, see you next year, guys. Well, I was going to say, like, hopefully 2022 will be better than 2021, which was better than 2020. So
yeah,
hopefully up from here.
Exactly. And hopefully we'll start getting back to travel. We'll have our own travel disasters to share with you guys.
All right. Until next time, be safe
and depart on time.